Oh, Devlin Bayrak. I think you see here quite a lot of interesting things about how God works and how he loves to work through that which is weak. And this is really why in the Song of Deborah in Judges 5, she's glorifying God exactly for that, that God fought alongside his weak people on earth and produced this great victory. Well, in verse 7, God promises to Barak that I will deliver Sisera and all his chariots into your hand. This was the word of God. He was commanded in verse 6 of Judges 4 to go and engage in battle with this massive army, 900 chariots of iron, and he is told that it would be given into his hand. But he says, no, I won't go unless you, Deborah, go with me. And I think the implication is that he was lacking in faith, because in verse 9 she says, I will go with you, but the journey you take will not be to your honor, because Yahweh will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Well, God has said in verse 7 that he would give these people into the hand of Barak. And so Deborah was inspired to understand that, okay, that potential was not going to be realized by Barak, but it was going to be applied to another. And there is an element, I think, of God still doing that. He has an intention that is not fulfilled by somebody, even though it's all set up for them to do it, and so that work is given to someone else. Or it may just simply not happen because they drop the ball, and if the ball is dropped, it's dropped. It's not necessarily the case, as Mordecai says to Esther, that if you don't do the job, then deliverance will arise from another place. Not always. In some cases, yeah. In this case, yes. But there are times when you can drop the ball and it's dropped. That God set up a potential. You were the person, and you dropped it. And that's it. It's simply not going to happen. Or it can be like it was here, that the potential was set up for Barak. He dropped it, said, no, I'm not going to do that. Okay, well then, they'll all be given into the hands of someone else who will be a woman. And so he was being taught here that God's purpose will go on through weak people. He thought that he was too weak. And I think God is saying, okay, so then I will use someone even weaker than you to do this. And of course, the woman that he uses achieves the victory with a tent peg. And you shouldn't assume that this was easy for her, because she was living in an encampment, let's say, that was actually loyal to Sisera. He'd fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, and there was peace between Jabin and the house of Heber the Kenite. So then, Heber, her husband, was in league. That was the idea of being at peace with, was in league with Jabin the king of Hazor. And now Sisera, Jabin's general, has fled away on foot. He's perhaps injured, he's exhausted, and he just manages to make it into the encampment of his friends. And the first tent he comes to is that of the wife of the leader, Heber, who is a friend of his boss, the king, Jabin. And the wives of the chiefs, like the wives of Bedouin chiefs to this day, have their own tent. So there she was going around her business thinking, well, my husband sold out to the enemy. And what can I do? I'm just stuck here in this encampment, just a woman in my tent, can't do anything. The rest of them are all turned away from the God of Israel. They turned away from Israel, and there they are. There we are in league with Sisera and Jabin, etc. And then, oh, what's that noise at the door? Ah, a badly wounded, gasping, desperate Sisera, the captain of the army. Well, she'd have got in a lot of trouble, I reckon, after killing him, at least initially. And she does it all on her own. And she literally just pulls up one of the tent pegs and takes the hammer and hammers the peg into his temples, and it pierces through to the ground. But when you read her Song of Triumph in Judges 5, or sorry, Deborah's Song of Triumph about this in Judges 5, it seems that she didn't get him out with one go. He actually gets up and stands up, probably screaming and hollering, and then collapses. So it's all very touch and go right to the end. She was a great woman to have taken that move of faith. And because it could have all gone wrong, or even after she killed him, her husband and all them could have come and said, look here, you killed this this general of the people that we're in with. What do you do that for? So all the way through then, you see encouragement to those who think that they're locked up in the domestic female tent, stuck in a dumb situation. You know, I pray every day that I will have meetings with the right people, that I might be able to share the gospel with those people in some way and do God's work in some way. And not that I'm stuck in a woman's tent sort of thing, but no matter how limiting your situation, pray that prayer and God will answer it. It's old folks, I think of my dear dad, praying that prayer, and God always used to answer my dad, always gave him something to do, even when he's pretty well housebound, always gave him some meeting with somebody, something to be getting on with, because that was his passion, to serve the Lord. And so this woman was in that really dumb situation, and yet God used her. And this is the whole cause for rejoicing there in Judges 5, the song of Deborah. And it's to Barak's credit that although he, as it were, had been displaced from the glory, he still joins in and he rejoices in it as well, because he wanted to see God's glory. And okay, it wasn't through him. He didn't have the faith, he'd let the ball drop, but someone else had picked it up. And if you want to see God's glory, well, how it's achieved, whether it's through you or someone else, isn't the issue. It's not for us to seek any kind of glory or whatever. It is for us to want to see God's glory advanced. And that's why I think his participation in it, in the Song of Deborah, is, I think, a wonderful example of really genuine humility and commitment to God's ways, despite his weakness and balking at the height of the challenge to him. And another thing you see in how God loves to use human weakness is that, Sisera had 900 chariots of iron, and this was, amazing military technology. This was untouchable. They were unbeatable, humanly speaking. And there are the Israelites up on Mount Tabor, and God says, go down to the river Kishon, go down to the river valley and fight them there. Well, the place to fight these guys was not down there on the flat land where the chariots could operate, but up in the mountains somewhere, because the chariots couldn't get up into the mountains. They were only any good in flat territory. And God says, go down and fight them there, and I'll give you the victory. It's like the battle plans for the taking of Jericho. I mean, they had no sense at all from a secular point of view, but this is how God wants to work, and it is his glory to work through the little things like you and me, to work through those who are unqualified, to work through those who are weak in whatever way. He loves doing this.